I don't even know what to do with my iPad anymore. I'm all over the place. Thanks for singing and joining in with me. As we normally do, we have the offering plate in the back, and we can greet each other in Jesus' name.
Above all names, the one who reigns forever, still the same. Praise the name, Jesus, name above all names, the one who reigns forever, still the same. Praise the name. other name that's higher, no other name that's stronger, no other name. Forever I will praise the name, no other name that can heal us, no other name that can free us, no other name. So precious, praise the name. Praise the name above all names, the one who reigns forever, still the same. Praise the name, Jesus, name above all names, the one who reigns forever, still the same. Praise the name, no other name that's higher, no other name that's stronger, no other name. Forever I will praise the name, no other name that can heal us, no other name that can free us, no other name. So precious, praise the name. We proclaim your name. Every nation, all creation, we proclaim your name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. No sweeter name, Jesus, 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 no sweeter name. No other name that's higher, no other name that's stronger, no other name. Forever I will praise the name, no other name that can heal us, no other name that can free us, no other name. So precious, praise the name.
God bless you for standing. You may be seated. I want to say a sincere thank you to all of those that help make things happen while we are away on vacation. It is a great comfort to know that everything's going to be handled just fine and everything's going to go smooth. Got good reports of everything that took place while we were gone. And so it's always good to know we can get away for a little bit and not have to worry about how things are happening back here. And so we thank you for that. We're still a little bit, my wife and I, we came back without our kids. So they're there in Florida until Saturday. So I told somebody earlier, I said, we don't know what to do. We're just like two old married people that go to bed early now. I know that'll change. We're missing them terribly already, but they're having a great time. They're able to be at camps in Florida with my mother-in-law, and so they're having a good time, and it's hard to even get them to talk to us when we call because, you know, they got other things to do. But we do covet your prayers on their travels back on Saturday. They will be flying by themselves. They've done it before, but they're flying back on Saturday morning, and we'll be at the airport to pick them up. But in the meantime, they'll be in the air, just those three with, you know, everybody else on the plane. So We certainly appreciate your prayers in that aspect. There are quite a few needs we need to go to the Lord in prayer concerning. One special need. Please remember Roger Kittner in prayer. I don't know if we tried to get it word out. We were having a little issue with the breeze, but I was able, I think, to get something on the Facebook page for the church. He was taken to the hospital earlier today with stroke symptoms. I have not gotten a report. Brother Tom, do you know anything other than he was taken at this point? All right, so the heart and stroke symptoms there. So let's continue to remember Roger Kittner in prayer. Sister Christy, see your hand. All right. Roberta Smith is the name. All right, let's remember her in prayer. Also remember younger Kellum family. They are leaving on vacation and will be they're cruising literally on a Disney cruise here in the next couple of days, and they're never done this before, so it's a new experience for them. We just want to pray God's blessing upon them and pray for our envy and jealousy in relation to what they're able to do right now and going on a trip. Sister Kellum. All right, yeah. Pray for Josh and those that haven't traveled in that way before. It is a little bit intimidating, so certainly just remember Josh in prayer in that. Anybody else have a prayer request you'd like to bring to the church? Oh, is this Holly? Go ahead. All right. Yes. All right. Remember Sister Hoffman in prayer, certainly. Family there. Brother Mike. All right. All right. Let's pray for that situation, certainly. All right. Why don't you stand? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we're so thankful for another opportunity to be in your house, God. We know that we can bring every need, every care, and concern of life before you in prayer. Lord, I know that there are multiple needs represented in this place, some spoken and others unspoken, Lord, but you know the details of every situation, Lord. You are an omniscient, all-knowing God, and so we come before you in faith, believing and trusting in your power to work in us and through us to the accomplishment of your will, God. We ask that we would be nothing but vessels, God, of your choosing, to be used in your service, God, for the glorification of your kingdom. God, you are so wonderful. You are great and greatly to be praised, and we come tonight to lift our voice in song as we've done, to sing praises to your name, God, and we bring these needs before you in prayer, believing and trusting in you to work and to move in each and every circumstance, God, and we thank you that we have the assurance, God, that through you, God, all things are possible. We love you, we praise you, we honor you, we thank you, God, whether it's a sickness in body, God, or whether it's a situation at work, Lord, we know that you care about the intricate details of our lives, and so we can come to you in faith, believing, asking your assistance, God, your divine wisdom to work in us and through us and making the decisions, God, that are necessary in our lives. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you. Keep your hand of protection upon those that are traveling, God, the Kellum family, my children, as they come back from Florida. Lord, I thank you, God, for your goodness that surrounds our lives, God. I thank you that we can come to you and believe in you and trust in you, God. You are so great and greatly to be praised, and we honor you, Jesus. We praise your precious name. Jesus, in your name, Jesus, in your name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Why don't you applaud the Lord for his goodness? God bless you for standing. While you're being seated, I do want to make you aware of a few things by way of announcement. This coming Sunday is Father's Day, and so we will take time out during a Sunday morning session, the 11 o'clock service, to honor the fathers among us. And so as we did with Mother's Day, there will not be a PM activity here at the church on Sunday. The two session format on Sunday morning with Sunday school at 10 o'clock, evangelistic service at 11. But there will not be a PM activity here at the church on Sunday night. Then the 23rd is a special day in that we are going to have a dinner, a baked potato dinner, following the Sunday morning service, and also a bake sale, baked goods auction, if you will. And so all the proceeds from this will go towards Mother's Memorial and giving to that part of, or that arm of, the United Pentecostal Church International. And so we encourage you to come. There's a bulletin board at the back, done up so well, looks so good. So we encourage you to come and help us in that, in raising funds. There is no charge for the meal. It is donations only. And we've always found that this is just we get a better response this way. And you're so charitable and giving. And so we thank you for that. So that's happening a week from this coming Sunday on the 23rd. Also want to make you aware there is happening on Saturday at the Krager residence. What time is that again, Brother Tom? 3 to whenever. So starting at 3, ending whenever, is the celebration of the graduation of Kara Krager. And so we invite you to come be a part of that celebration at Brother Tom Krager's home, if you need to know where that is. Got green now. Looking forward to that on Saturday. So other events, other things happening. Do want you to participate in our share sessions. I wasn't here on the first one, but the next one will be on the night of the 23rd. We will have a share session. Share the word. Share your story. Share a talent. And the sign-up sheet is at the back. Also a copy of the questions if you are looking to be an interviewer or interviewee. Those questions are there, pre-selected, pre-screened questions that you select and then are asked to you in front of the people, and just a way to get to know you better. So all those details, we've gone over those again and again. But other events, camps coming up, month of June. Actually, there's some that are happening even now. And then camp meeting, family camp, district conference over in the month of July. So June and July summer months are busy and a lot going on, but we want to make you aware of all those different things. We are continuing in our study called Developing the Leader Within You. And I know we're 2 weeks removed from the last session, so I will take the first little time to kind of review some of the things we've discussed previously. What we're talking about is how that each and every one of us have a level of influence in our lives, how that with our family, our friends, social circles, maybe even in our workplace, we have influence. That essentially is, when you break down leadership into one word, that's what it is. So the question is not whether we are or are not influencing someone. We are. The question is, how are we influencing them? In what ways are we influencing them? How are we impacting their lives? Is it in a positive sense? Is it in a negative sense? And how can we better the leadership that is to be developed in us? Obviously, looking at the greatest leader ever in Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus, and trying to pattern our lives after him, going about doing good, leading by example in what we do and how we live. The Bible talks about all manner of conversation and godliness, how that we are seeking, we are endeavoring in our lives to lead other people ultimately to a walk in relationship with Jesus Christ. And how we do that in a scriptural sense is a lot how it's done in a secular sense. And so we can take some of that secular wisdom and knowledge, if you will, and obviously we can combine that with the spiritual principles and understand that these things work to develop the leader within us, to make us more influential in a positive way, to help us lead other people and disciple other people. So that's what we've been talking about, and we are on our fifth lesson. But before we get into that, I want to talk about how to get this thing to work. I may need batteries here. Hold, please. Technical difficulties. Triples. Hey. Ha. 2 weeks ago, we talked about change. We talked about how that is an essential trait of leadership. A central part of leadership is the ability to change. And we talked about why that change was difficult. And some of the things we talked about is the reason why change is difficult is we are set in our ways and we don't want routine disrupted. We like doing what we've been doing, but we all know the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, yet we still do it. And the reason why, oftentimes, is because change is difficult. Change causes us to get out of the routine, causes us to maybe walk in uncomfortable areas of life. And so, but if we're going to be a good leader, then we have to understand that change is necessary. Change is essential. We use the scripture that talked about how that by the Spirit of the Lord, we are changed into His image from glory to glory. And that it is God's will that we change, that we mature as believers, that we come to a greater understanding of our walk and relationship with Jesus Christ, and how that as we are changed, we change other people. We talked about change requires additional commitment and effort. That's why a lot of people don't want to change, because they don't want to commit with additional effort. Change may mean personal loss. There's some things that have to change in my life in order for me to change. We talked about tradition resists change, how that we have to be careful. Some tradition is good, other tradition is bad. Other tradition can keep us from changing and evolving, if you will, into what God would have us to be. Change creates fear of the unknown. We talked about this being a great inhibitor to change, how that we're fearful. We know what the routine is. We know what the normal is, but to change, even though the prospect of being better or having a better life or having a better relationship with God is there, sometimes the change, the fear of the unknown, to truly step out in faith. And we talked about the element of faith. Talk about how that the fear of failure, being risk adverse, how that faith is truly accepting an element of risk. We talked about that in detail. And then we often equate goodness with unchanging. And we do this because of the scriptures like, I am the Lord, I change not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we need to understand that the reason why there is no change where God is concerned is because He is perfect. We are not. Because of our imperfection, we need to be changed. We need to be developed. We need to mature in our walk and relationship with Jesus Christ. And so in that aspect, change is good. We used a quote in the middle of the lesson. We'll see how well you remember 2 weeks ago what we talked about. The more you blank, the more you become a blank of change in others. But remember what those two words were in the statement. Try the first one. The more you what? What are we talking about? Change. The more you change, the more you become an instrument, yes, an instrument of change. The more you change, the more you become an instrument of change in others. Why? Because we're talking about influence. We're talking about leadership. And the more we're willing to change, the more that we're willing to evolve, if you will, in the sense of leading other people, the more instrument of change we become. So now tonight we're going to talk about the extra plus in leadership. We kind of touched on this 2 weeks ago in talking about change. We did kind of anybody remember what the object lesson was a couple weeks ago? We wrote something down. Anybody remember what we wrote down? It was a word. Attitude. We first wrote it down with our normal writing hand, and in 3 seconds, all of us were able to accomplish the task. And then we switched hands to our non-normal writing hand, and we tried to write that same word within 3 seconds, and most of us, like myself, miserably failed. And what was evident on the paper after our valiant attempt, if not pathetic, attempt to write the word represented our attitude towards change. One of the reasons why our attitude towards change is what it is because of all the reasons we just talked about. So tonight we're taking that change that is necessary, and we're going to talk about the extra plus in leadership that facilitates that change. And it's all about attitude. If I'm going to change, one of the first things I have to change is my attitude about change. What I have to change is my attitude and my outlook. And the experiences and the exposures and the circumstances of life and the situation. I've got to, it's all about attitude. When I look at focus verse, Numbers 14, chapter 14, verse number 24. This is after Moses has sent the spies into the land of Canaan and they have come back with their report. And many of us know the story how the 10 came back with the evil report, the Bible says, but 2 came back with a positive report, saying, let's go up at once, let's do this, let's take this land. The other said, oh no, we are but grasshoppers in their sight. They're giants, we can't do it.
But Joshua and Caleb had a different report, the Bible says. In verse 24, talks about Caleb. But my servant Caleb, because he had had another spirit within him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring unto the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. New Living Translation, it says it this way. But my servant Caleb has a different attitude than the others have. He has remained loyal to me, so I will bring him to the land he explored. His descendants will possess their full share of that land. Because Caleb had a different attitude. His outlook on the situation was totally different. When you look at the story, you understand that Caleb and Joshua thought differently about the situation than the other 10 did. And so we can readily recall the names of Joshua and Caleb, many of us, but the other 10, not so well. But the other 10, let's face the facts. The other 10 represent the majority. And the Bible says that because Caleb and Joshua had a different attitude about it, because they said, hey, let us go up at once, the Bible says the people rose up and begin to take stones to stone them. The Bible says. Because they have a different attitude. They're optimistic about the outcome. They say, let's go in at once and take it. Let's do this, y'all. But they believe the majority, the 10 that came back with an evil report. And so the Bible says that they could not go in because of their unbelief. They didn't have the faith. In the last study, we talked about our attitude to change and how that change has to come from the inside. We're all expecting many times we look for change on the outside. We talked about this 2 weeks ago. But in reality, change has to come from the inside. And one of the ways that change begins to develop from the inside is rather changing our attitude. Changing our attitude. My dad used to say, you get away from stinking thinking. Change your attitude. The quote that I love. It says, what lies behind us and what lies before us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us. What's in us? What's down in here? What's down in here is great and wonderful. It doesn't matter what lies behind me. It doesn't matter what lies before me. If what lies within me, if I can change the attitude and I can make my outlook different, everything else is small in comparison. Everything else, as the quote says, is just a tiny matter in comparison. What lies behind us and what lies before us, it's just minuscule in comparison to what lies within us. Man, we love when the preachers get up and they quote the verse, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Woo! Yes. But the Bible says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or even think, according to the power that worketh in you. So yes, in the context of being led by God, in the context of having a walking relationship with him that is growing and maturing, what lies behind me and what lies before me is a tiny matter in comparison to what lies within me. The potential that is in each and every one of us, and this is what you have to understand. If that same Spirit of Christ dwells in you, it will also quicken your mortal body. It's not talking about just resurrecting. It's talking about quickening who you are as an individual. It's talking about empowering you and equipping you to be a leader as he was a leader. To take 12 men, if you will, from different walks of life and different demographics and different social statuses, and lead those 12 men who will ultimately change the entire world. One man. With the leadership quality to do what he did. And that same spirit, if we are believers and we are born again of that, that same potential lies within each and every one of you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's what my Bible says. So the potential, the opportunity is there. It's being able to take that, what lies within us, and using it and being able to develop it so that it changes our attitude about everything. Life is often 10 to 15% of what happens to us and about 85 to 90% of how we react to it. That is a true statement. Because people can have very similar circumstances, but simply because of their attitude and the way they have reacted to attitude. Not everybody that lived an abusive childhood grows up to be an abusive parent. Not everybody that experienced loss and rejection as a child grows up to continue to experience loss and rejection as an adult. The reality is the situations may be similar at the onset, but how they reacted to it made all the difference. So that's a true statement. Life is about 10 to 15% of what happens to us and about 85 to 90% of how we react to it. What is our response to it? Does it become an obstacle that we stumble, or does it become an opportunity for us to step up? And really, it comes down to our attitude. It comes down to how we react to it. It comes down to how do we respond in that situation. Leadership has more to do with disposition than with position. Say that again. Leadership has more to do with disposition than it has with position. Remember, position is the first level of leadership. It's something that's just given. It's something that just, as a result, you're given a title. Very little influence follows that position. There is some inherent to the position itself. But if you really want to learn how to graduate and move from the next, from one level to the next, it's going to take disposition. It's going to take an attitude. It's going to take a different outlook. It's going to take getting away from the stinking thinking and deciding things are going to be different. The right attitude will set the right atmosphere and will elicit the right responses. How true is this? The right attitude will create the right atmosphere and elicit the right responses. Let me tell you, the inverse of that is also true. The wrong attitude will create the wrong atmosphere and elicit wrong responses. Attitude makes a big difference. It is the extra plus in leadership. It is all about attitude. It makes a difference. So let's do this mental exercise in attitude. Last 2 weeks ago, we did an object lesson about change and our attitude towards change. Now let's do a mental. I'm not going to ask you to write anything down, but I'm going to ask you to think of something. Think of a friend that you highly admire. Not someone you're just loosely connected with, but a friend, someone that you are closely associated to, a friend that you highly admire. Think about it. Who is someone that you highly admire? Everybody got it? Got someone in mind? Someone that you highly admire? What is it about that person that you admire? So now I have the person in mind, this person I highly admire. I think a lot of this individual, closely connected to this individual, is not someone that's distant, someone that's pretty close. I highly admire this individual. What is it that you highly admire about that individual? Got it? This is what this is what I would say is what I most admire about this individual. Does what you admire have more to do with their looks? Does it have more to do with their abilities or their skills? Or does it have more to do with their attitude? I'd say an overwhelming percentage of us would say it. What I admired most was probably their attitude. I admired their attitude. It truly is all about attitude. It really, there is so much weighs upon that. It is about attitude. It's about how their outlook. Some of the most influential people in life are people who can go through trouble and situation and circumstance and be in a bad place, if you will, but have a good attitude. You want to talk about contagious? You want to talk about people that can make a difference? You want to talk about people that you leave that experience with that individual and you think to yourselves, wow, they got it. They're going through this or dealing with that. They may be in a bad place, but even in that bad place, they have a good attitude. They don't have a discouraging look. They're not downtrodden. They're not depressed. They're not anxious. They're just, hey, yeah, I'm going through it. Yeah, I'm dealing with this situation. But God's good. It's going to work out. Those kind of people make a difference. Those kind of people, the old saying is, you want to hitch your wagon to. Why? Because they have that leadership quality. They have that attitude, that air about them, if you will. That aura almost that says that individual can go through stuff and come out good. I want to read to you an excerpt from the book. It's a pretty fascinating case study that was done. If I can get my computer to operate, I'll read it to you. It's in a book written by Nell Money, I guess you would say. The book is entitled Beliefs Can Influence Attitudes. I'm sorry, it was an article, not a book. But a double-blind experiment at a San Francisco Bay Area school involving 3 teachers and 90 students. And here it is. I'm going to read it to you. In her book, it is a book, not an article. See, I got it right the first time. Beliefs Can Influence Attitude. Nell Mahoney poignantly illustrates this truth. Mahoney tells of a double-minded experiment conducted in San Francisco Bay Area. The principal of a school called 3 professors together and said, because you 3 teachers are the finest in the system and you have the greatest expertise, we're going to give you 90 high IQ students. We're going to let you move these students through this next year at their own pace and see how much they can learn. Everyone was delighted. The faculty and students alike were excited about the opportunity. Over the next year, the professors and students thoroughly enjoyed themselves. The professors were teaching the brightest students. The students were benefiting from their close attention and instruction of highly skilled teachers. By the end of the experiment, the students had achieved from 20 to 30% more than the other students in the whole area. They had achieved. They had excelled. 20 to 30% more than all the other students in the whole area. At the end, the principal called the teachers in and told them, have a confession to make. You did not have 90 of the most intellectually prominent students. They were run-of-the-mill students. We took 90 students at random from the system and gave them to you. The teachers then promptly responded, this means that we are exceptional teachers. You were right, principal, in telling us that we are highly educated and highly skilled. To which the principal continued, I have another confession. You are not the brightest of teachers. Your names were the first 3 names drawn out of a hat. The teachers then asked, well, then what made the difference? The principal responded, your attitude concerning the expectations. Think about it. And we're told, the expectation was that they were the 3 highly intellectual professors. But not entirely true. And they were going to be given 90 of the most intellectually prominent students with which to work with. So the expectation is, we're the best and we're teaching the best. But the reality is, they were all just mediocre. But look at the performance. Look at what happened as a result of mere expectation and attitude. Wow. The power of positive thinking, the power of a positive attitude. That's why the Bible tells us whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Why? Because your attitude has the potential to change everything. The way you think has the potential to affect either way, positively or negatively. It's about your attitude. Expectations will influence our attitudes. This is the reason why some of us suffer from sour attitudes, because we have unmet expectations. When what we should really do is say, wait a second. I'm not going to bring my attitude down to the basis of my unmet expectations. What I'm instead going to do is I'm going to ramp up my attitude. I'm going to make my attitude better and bring those expectations up to a place that matches the attitude where I can say, hey, even if things don't happen the way that I think they should happen, even if my expectations are unmet, I'm still going to have a good attitude. And so instead of having both negatives, I can at least put a positive in the sense of my attitude towards it. If you think you are beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you like to win but you think you can, it's almost certain you won't. Life's battles don't always go to the stronger or the fastest man, but sooner or later the man who wins is the man who thinks he can. Think about that. That's the power of thinking. If you think you're beaten, you are. Most losers have a loser mentality. There's a story of a book about a man who walks by a tattoo parlor in Chinatown, and he noticed that one of the tattoos that are available is this simple two-word phrase, born loser. He went inside. He was just appalled that anybody would ever tattoo that on their body. And he asked the tattoo artist, the Chinese man, he said, do people really get this tattoo? And he said, yes, they do. He said, why would anybody ever put that on their body? Chinese tattooed artist and broken English looked back and said, before tattooed on body, tattooed on mind. What he's saying? He said, some people allow life and their circumstances and their situation and their upbringing, they allow it to tattoo things on them, to permanently scar them. But other people with the same situation and the same circumstances can use it as a trampoline, if you will, can use it as a catalyst for creating change in their own life. Who can say, I will never be like that. I will determine to be different. I will change my attitude and my thinking. I will not be held captive by the circumstances that surround my life. I will choose to change. And the first thing that's going to change is my attitude. Sooner or later, the man who wins is the man or woman who thinks they can. Life is full of surprises, and the adjustment of our attitudes determines our direction. Or you can say it this way. The pessimist complains about the wind. The optimist expects it to change. The leader learns how to adjust the sails. Wow, what a great statement. Pessimist complains about the wind. The optimist expects it to change, but the true leader adjusts the sails. He recognizes there's going to be different winds. It's going to come from different directions. It rains upon the just and the unjust. There's life circumstances. Life is short and full of trouble. There's going to be situations. There are going to be circumstances. You are going to be offended. There's things that are going to happen in your life. You're going to deal with people. You're going to have, but what the only thing you can truly change and adjust is your attitude. That's the sail. That's how you determine how that wind is going to affect you. Are you going to use that headwind as a way to adjust the sails and propel you forward? Or are you going to let it keep pushing you back? That's all up to you. It's all up to your attitude, how things are going to affect you, the influence, the impact that it's going to have on your life. That's really up to you. That's nobody else's fault. It's yours. Own it. Understand it is my attitude that makes the difference, how I respond to situations. 10 to 15% of life is about what happens to me. 85 to 90% is about how I react to it. It's all about my attitude. Look at the scriptures. Paul, Philippians 4:11-13. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed to be both full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. How? How can you, whatever state you're in, Paul, how can you be content? Whether it's a tailwind or a headwind, whether it's good things or bad things, whether it's sunshine or raining, whether it's a road marked with suffering or whether the way's great, Because here's my attitude. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That's my attitude. That's how I can be content. That's how I can suffer loss. That's how I can be both in want and in need. That's how I can be full and hungry, and it really doesn't change my attitude. Circumstances don't change my attitude. My attitude changes my circumstances. It's really that simple. Understanding the power of positive thinking. Because the moment I start thinking negatively, and the moment I start picking things apart, and the moment I start finding all the things that are wrong, I stop seeing what's right. And when I stop seeing what's right, guess what? I start seeing all the unmet expectations. I start seeing what's wrong, and guess what? It changes my attitude. And before long, well, you know, that church just full of people don't care. Well, is that your outlook? Just think about it. I tell people all the time, I am one of two things. I am part of the problem or I'm part of the solution. It's that simple. And a lot of that is determined by my attitude. Take ownership and accept responsibility. It's my attitude. My attitude. Take ownership and responsibility for your own attitude. It's not somebody else's fault. It's not those people. It's not their fault. It's my fault. I think the way I think, not because of everybody else, but I think the way I think because of me. Story of a mother and daughter who went Christmas shopping together. The crowds were awful. The mother was on a tight schedule and had to skip lunch. She became tired and hangry. That means hungry and angry. And was a little more than irritable. As they left the last store, the mother looked at her daughter and said, "Did you see the nasty look that salesman gave me?" The daughter replied, "He didn't give it to you, Mom. You had it when you walked in." Accept it. Own it. But change it. It's my responsibility. It's not your responsibility to change my attitude. It's my responsibility to change my attitude. It's really that simple. But what I do with that and how I change it will affect not only myself, it'll affect other people. Because there are other people that I influence. When I get around them, I talk negatively. And I talk down the church and the pastor and leadership, guess what? It's an attitude, and it's going to affect. It's going to have an effect. That's why, as I said 2 weeks ago, I say it again, that's why the old adage stays true. If you can't change the people around you, change the people around you. It's that simple. Because those people that you are connected to, you got to think about it. My closest companion, those individuals that I spend a lot of time with, are they positively influencing me or negatively influencing me? Good attitude or bad attitude? Makes a difference. Our attitudes will influence ourselves and others, either positively or negatively. It will. It's going to influence me, and it's going to influence those other people. Few things are more discouraging and demoralizing than a negative attitude. Those individuals that always see the cloud and never the silver lining. Individuals that are always quick to point out the negative, what's not working, what isn't done right. I've come to the place in my life, I don't consider myself old and sage or any of that stuff, but there's just some people that I'm not going to spend much time with. And the reason why is because they're not going to lift me up. They're going to bring me down. I want to be around people that are going to be positive. I want people to be around people that are going to have a great outlook on life. I want people that think about the silver lining. I want people that say, hey, you know what? Life sometimes stinks, but my attitude doesn't have to. Man, I ain't getting too many people shouting on that one. Situations and circumstances come and go. Good times, bad times. Well, the reason why Job was such a strong man is because he was building an altar before it all went bad. He was a whatever worshiper. It didn't matter. Good times, bad times. He maintained his integrity. Why? Because the situations didn't change him. Change in attitude has the potential to change your whole life. It really does. Think about it. 10 to 15% of life is about what happens to us, but 85 to 90% is about how we react to it. Your attitude and the change in attitude can make a total difference. Your attitude will attract others of similar outlooks. Ooh. Ever heard the adage, birds of a feather flock together? It's just how it works. It's amazing how disgruntled employees find other disgruntled employees. And they're disgruntled together. Same way. It's amazing how disgruntled saints find other disgruntled saints. Understand the power of our attitude. And maybe sometimes the change that needs to happen means that I gotta change some of those that I associate with. I'm gonna determine I'm not gonna hang around negative people who are all disgruntled and depressed. I'm gonna find a different party. May not be able to change the world I see around me, but I can change the way I see the world around me. Say that again. I may not be able to change the world I see around me, but I can change the way I see the world around me. It's very easy to look at social media and the circumstances of life, and it's really easy to look at all those things and say, man, we are in troubling times. And we are. And I get it. And we can focus on the negative. We can focus on all the things that are going wrong. Or we can say, wait, there's some things that are happening that are going right. Let's focus on the good things. But for some reason, human nature, that doesn't read so well. The good news stories, even though we know that a part of that is so appealing to see people do good stuff and to see that exemplified, and that's all well and good, but it doesn't sell papers or subscriptions. Why? Because it's human nature. Human nature a lot of times follows our attitude. Change the attitude. I may not be able to change the world I see around me, but I can change the way I see the world around me. It's all about attitude. In closing, you can stand to your feet. Developing the leader within you. This influence that I have is going to grow and it's going to mature. It's going to be better. C.S. Lewis, and I don't remember the exact quote, but it was something along these lines. He said, listen, life is full of innumerable choices. And with every one of those choices, we are choosing to create the creature we will become. And either it will be a heavenly or a hellish one. How true. Life is full of so many choices. There's so many crossroads. There's so many decisions that have to be made. And I can either see those as opportunities and potential. Or I can become fearful of the unknown and say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to branch out. My attitude is I'm just going to remain here in this comfortable area of life, and I'm just not going to move forward. I'm not going to. And guess what? I won't advance. I won't grow in levels of leadership. I won't develop a leader within me. Change my attitude and say, hey, there's potential. There's possibility. Sure, there's the unknown. Where's the adventurous spirit that says, let's find out? It's all about attitude. Lord Jesus, we love you. God, I'm thankful for your word, which challenges us, God. Lord, to be introspective of ourselves, God, and our outlook on life, and the things that we approach, Lord. Help us, each and every one of us, myself included, Lord. So many times we're so prone to have negative attitudes towards things, to look at everything that is wrong, look at the things that are negative and bad, Lord, and help us to change, to get rid of that, to start thinking on the good things, the right things, Lord, to have a positive outlook on life, that it would change who we are, God, from the inside out, and help us to influence and attract others of similar outlooks, God, as we all endeavor to grow in our walk in relationship with you. We love you, we praise you. We want to be influential people in the lives in which we live, in the social circles which we have. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, we honor you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.